Well, I wonder what goes through your minds as we arrive at Remembrance Sunday morning. Is your mind full of the well-known words of remembrance at the going down of the sun and in the morning? Or perhaps the sound of the last post, or the sights of young and old stopping in silence? I'm often drawn to that strange paradox as I think of the lively traditional marching tunes and the reality of the danger of conflict, both in the past but also around the world today. And we have those reminders not just here outside church but around the world, memorials marked with names of those fallen. And then I think of what people have fought for. Churchill could say in the early days of the Second World War, in a speech to the House of Commons, "You ask what is our aim? I can answer in one word, victory. Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory however long and hard the road may be." A fight, again in Churchill's words, to be free and for the life of the world to move forward into broad sunlit uplands. What is worth fighting for? Freedom? Honour? Love? For those who have fought in conflict, but also for us as individuals and as a community. What is worth fighting for? What is worth striving for? At the start of that second reading, which Lee has just read for us, Jesus speaks two short examples of real value, of things worth fighting for, striving for, sacrificing for. And each is introduced with the phrase, "The kingdom of heaven is like." Because Christian faith is not meant to be compartmentalized to a few significant moments in life, birth, marriage, death, or a few significant moments in the year, Christmas, Easter, remembrance. Jesus invites us to be part of a kingdom, to become a citizen, to become part of a gathering that spans continents and time, and which shapes whole lives. The second verse of "I vow to thee my country" speaks of this kingdom. The hymn writer says, "And there's another country I have heard of long ago, most dear to them that love her, most great to them that know. We may not count her armies, we may not see her king. Her fortress is a faithful heart, her pride is suffering. And soul by soul, and silently, her shining bounds increase, and all her ways of gentleness, and all her paths are peace." So what is the kingdom of heaven like in Matthew chapter 13, that reading that we've had? Well, imagine the scene. A man is digging around in a field. We're not quite sure why he's digging around in a field that doesn't belong to him, but gloss over that detail. I don't think Jesus had in his mind the metal detectorists, but on finding treasure, he makes a calculation. He says, "This is worth everything." He's going all in. He sells everything he has in order to buy that field and to gain that treasure. And then there's the pearl collector. You know the type. If you meet him at a party, he'd wax lyrical for hours about his latest pearl, how the different conditions affect the color and the shape and the size. But he finds a pearl of great value and forgoes the rest of his collection to obtain that pearl. What do those verses say to us? How do they speak to our priorities for life? What is it that you are fighting for, striving for? Where are you putting your effort? Jesus says that if you find the kingdom of heaven, that is a community in right relationship with God, people known and loved by God, given purpose and place and promise, if you find that, it is worth more than anything else. The heart of the kingdom and the way into the kingdom is the person of Jesus Christ. As explained in a Christmas Day message by our Queen a few years ago, she said this: although we are capable of great acts of kindness, history teaches us that we sometimes need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness or our greed. God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important though they are, but a savior with the power to forgive. At our very best, or our very worst, we need the good news of a kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is the only everlasting kingdom, a promise of future hope, of present purpose. Not the philosopher to analyze the problem and offer a self-help solution. Not a general to give us orders, but a savior who would make a way for us. The words of our first reading, Psalm 96, challenge us to respond to God, to hear about the kingdom and respond in worship, in sharing the message of the kingdom. In verses 9 and 10, we hear these words: worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. So what are you fighting for? What are you striving for? There are many examples in the stories we hear at Remembrance of bravery, of courage, of sacrifice. And I encourage you to reflect on your own priorities, particularly if you've never explored what it might mean to discover the treasure, the pearl, the kingdom of heaven. I heard of an exchange between a young soldier and his padre. Casually, as he was leaving the room, the teenager said, "Padre, I don't believe in God or religion," and left. Then 45 minutes later, a knock on the padre's door, and the same soldier posed the question, "Do you think the Bible would help me?" Here at St. George's, week by week, we open the Bible and seek to apply it to our lives. And we invite you to explore with us, to ask questions or come and sit quietly, to discover something of the good news of the kingdom of God, a kingdom that is worth fighting for. So may you each come to know the power and the hope of the kingdom, which shapes hearts and lives and is centered on the person of Jesus Christ. May you, in the midst of our remembering the past, honoring the present, and praying for peace, discover the goodness of God. Amen.